Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, it's the 5th of August 2019. I'm Neil De Silva and I hope you are all keeping well and you've had a great weekend. On today's show, we are going to be talking about ovarian cancer. It's a quite deep subject, but we're going to talk specifically about the symptoms of undiagnosed ovarian cancer. And towards the end of the show, we're also going to be talking about low blood pressure. And again, the symptoms of low blood pressure. And in the middle, we have our special guest interview of the morning. Today, we have Destiny Krogsgaard from Destiny Chiropractic. Good morning, Destiny. It's great to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
And we're going to find out more about Destiny's journey, her background, and what she's doing now in about 20 minutes or so. So a quick disclaimer before we kick the show off. The purpose of the show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters that we cover and to help educate and inform you in ways that you could improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist first. All the content is provided for general information only, and I do encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and often my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. Quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show and you'll be able to follow the show's Facebook page. You'll be able to listen again to this show and all previous 68 Health Matters shows are on iTunes. If you go to iTunes, iTunes Podcast, type in the Health Matters Radio Show and you can subscribe, or on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So for those of you that might remember, a few weeks ago, towards the start of July, I had a guest on called Wendy Jennings. It's show 64. If you go to my media page, you can listen to her interview. But Wendy's journey was fascinating and incredibly personal and sad but uplifting. And Wendy and I were talking about her parents. Now, she lost her parents within quite a short space of each other. Her dad died of cancer and her mum died of ovarian cancer. One of Wendy's journeys is to raise the awareness of ovarian cancer. And as we go through this piece, you'll understand the reason why. Because ovarian cancer, particularly for women over 50, goes undiagnosed for a long time simply because they don't associate the symptoms they're having with the fact that they may have cancer, and therefore they don't get it checked out until it becomes more serious, and by that time they're quite a way down the line. So this part of the show about ovarian cancer is really dedicated to Wendy, because when she came in, I said one day I would actually cover that piece for her. So let's start with the basics. What is cancer? So cancer starts in our cells. Our cells are these tiny building blocks and they make up our organs and our tissues of our body. Now, what normally happens is these cells divide to make new cells in a very controlled way. And in fact, this is how our bodies grow, they heal and they repair. But sometimes this process goes wrong and the cell becomes abnormal. And now this abnormal cell keeps dividing and making more and more abnormal cells. Together they form a lump, which is called a tumour. And that's the onset of cancer. But however, not all tumours, not all lumps are cancerous. So you have two different types. You have a benign lump, which doesn't spread to anywhere else in the body, and through surgery will often be removed. And then you have a lump that is cancerous or malignant, as it's called, and that can spread to other parts of the body. And these cancer cells, they sometimes they break away from where the cancer started, which is called the primary cancer, and they can travel through the blood and the lymphatic system to other parts of the body. And when that happens, cancer can develop in another part of the body, and that's called a secondary cancer or a metastasis. So when we talk about ovarian cancer, about 2% of women in the UK will develop ovarian cancer during her lifetime. That's about 1 in 50 women. And the causes are not completely understood, but we will come on to some risk factors in a moment. But what they do know is that actually ovarian cancer in young women is quite low, and it increases as women get older. And in fact, more than 80% of ovarian cancers occur in women over the age of 50. So generally speaking, it's during the menopause and post-menopause. And one of the big problems, as I mentioned at the start of this piece, is that the symptoms of ovarian cancer can be difficult to recognise, particularly early on, and they often go missed until they become a lot more serious. And they're often mistaken for less serious conditions, such as irritable bowel syndrome or premenstrual syndrome. And because this cancer can be mistaken for symptoms of less serious and non-cancerous conditions, there's often a delay in diagnosis. And one of the things I'd like to really drive home are these symptoms. So we're going to discuss the symptoms now, and it's really important. If you can associate with any of these, please pay a visit to your doctors, because at the very least, at least you'll have it ruled out that it's not an issue. But if it is an issue and, you know, worst case scenario, you have got onset ovarian cancer, then at least it can be dealt with and dealt with quickly. Because when it's dealt with quickly, the chances of a recovery are a lot higher. So some of the common symptoms of ovarian cancer are a feeling of constantly being bloated, a swollen belly, a discomfort in the belly or in the pelvic area, a feeling of feeling full quickly when eating, or perhaps a loss of appetite, and perhaps a need to pee more often than normal, or more urgently than normal. So you can see how some of these symptoms could be misinterpreted as other less serious conditions, for example, IBS. But again, if you've not been checked out and you can associate with one of those and it's becoming a problem, then it may be time to pay a visit to your doctor. And generally speaking, doctors will offer ovarian cancer tests to women who've had these symptoms, or if they happen more than 12 times a month, or if they are continuous for more than 3 weeks. So this long-lasting bloated feeling, this feeling of being full or maybe a lack of appetite, this pain in the belly and the need to go to the toilet more often or more urgently than they perhaps would do normally. So women over 50 who develop these symptoms, which are similar to IBS, should see their doctor for ovarian cancer tests. And one of the reasons is that IBS actually, for women over 50, they don't often develop IBS for the first time. Okay, so if you kind of get those feelings that you've got IBS type symptoms and you're over 50 and you've not had IBS in the past, then it definitely is time to have a chat with your doctor. Other symptoms of ovarian cancer or undiagnosed ovarian cancer can include changes in bowel habits, so diarrhea and constipation. Again, hence the misdiagnosis or the misinterpretation that it's IBS. If you're having pain during sex, if you've got unexplained weight gain or weight loss, or unexplained or extreme tiredness, or persistent indigestion or nausea, or back pain, or vaginal bleeding, particularly if you are post-menopause, or if you just feel this, you know, constant lethargy and tiredness all the time, then perhaps it's time to have a chat with your doctor. And if these symptoms don't go away, that's another sign that maybe it's time to have a test done. Or particularly if you're over 50, or if you've got a family history of ovarian or breast cancer, then you may be at higher risk. Now, as I mentioned, the cause of ovarian cancer in many cases is unknown, but there are some factors that can increase the risk of you developing ovarian cancer, particularly as you age, as you hit the 50-year-old mark, and particularly post-menopause. And some of these factors include things like family history. So if your mother had it, if your sisters have had it, your aunts, your grandparents, or your grandmother, then that increases the risk of you developing ovarian cancer. If you have genetic mutations of the genes associated with ovarian cancer, so BRCA1 or BRCA2, then that can increase your risk. If you have a personal history of breast, uterine or colon cancer, that can increase your risk of ovarian cancer. If you're carrying too much weight, if you're obese, if you're using certain fertility drugs or hormone therapies, if you've never been pregnant, that can increase the risk as well. Endometriosis is another risk factor. And as I mentioned, just getting older, because as I said, 80% of women that develop ovarian cancer are over 50. But of course, it's possible to have ovarian cancer without having any of those risks. Likewise, you can have any of those risk factors, and it doesn't mean that you're going to get ovarian cancer. But again, the key is looking at those symptoms and recognising if things are not quite right, perhaps it's time to talk to your doctor. And the reason why is because the survival rate is higher than 90% when ovarian cancer is found at the early stages. But the problem is doctors are diagnosing only around 20% of ovarian cancer cases at the earliest stages. So just to let those numbers, you know, sink in, the survival rate is 90% when it's found early, but doctors are only finding 20% of these cases early. So the real takeaway here is it's your responsibility to go to your doctor if things are not quite right. Don't think you're wasting their time. Don't think that that those symptoms might just go away. It's worth getting it checked out because if it is the start of ovarian cancer and you are one of the people that they catch early on, then the survival rate is as high as 90%. So quite a deep subject, quite a dark subject, but quite an important subject as well. People don't like to talk about cancer, but I believe it should be spoken about because a lot of the symptoms, not just of ovarian cancer, but lots of other cancers as well, the symptoms start quite benign. They start off often quite simple, but people don't really recognise the fact that, you know, they've got cancer developing, so they just ignore it. It's a bit like type 2 diabetes, ignoring the symptoms for years and years and years. But all that time, it's obviously growing inside them and the disease is getting worse. So if you can associate with any of those symptoms, then please do have a chat with your doctor. So after the break, we are going to go on to our special guest interview with Destiny.
staring at the rain. A little out of touch, a little insane. It's just easier than dealing with the pain. Runaway train, never going back. Wrong way on a one-way track. Seems like I should be getting somewhere.
That was Soul Asylum and Runaway Train. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, go to Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show, and you can follow the show's Facebook page. You'll be able to listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And equally, if you've got iTunes and you want to subscribe to the podcast and be the first to hear new shows on catch up, go to iTunes, go to podcast, type in the Health Matters Radio Show, and you can subscribe to the show's podcast. Okie dokie, so on to our special guest interview of the morning. Today we have Destiny Krogsgaard from Destiny Chiropractic. Good morning, Destiny.
Good morning, Neil.
It's lovely to have you on the show this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm really interested in your background, actually. I mean, one of the things we were talking about just before the show is this pattern of how many guests come on my show where their background or their personal experiences have really directed and guided the way that their business has developed, the way they've developed. And the things they're doing now are often connected with personal incidences and tragedies in the past. So really interested to find out more about what you do. So let's start with your background. Before we talk about what you're doing at the moment, tell us a bit more about where you started, perhaps from an early age, and some of the experiences that you've been through that's taken you to where you are now.
Well, a bit like you, Neil, I think sometimes, you know, I feel like we all have a purpose on the planet, and sometimes the universe gives you a bit of a kick up the bum to let you know what it is.
Yeah, doesn't it just?
And my kick up the bum was a horrific car accident when I was very young. My mother and I have different opinions about how old I was, but I remember being about nine-ish.
Okay.
And it was one of those, you know, we didn't have seat belts and all that kind of stuff in those days. And we got hit on the side of a little tiny sports car we were in. And my mother and I knocked heads together and hit the windows and did all these things and thrown around the car quite a lot. And the ambulance came and took my mum away, but actually didn't, just kind of left me with my grandparents saying, oh, you know, she's young, she'll bounce, it's fine, what have you. And my mum went off to hospital with suspected concussion and whiplash and what have you. Mm. Came back the next day, all clear, all fine. But it wasn't fine because she went into this really deep, dark place. She had a lot of pain. She wasn't concentrating very well. She was a bit depressed. And this went on for months. And eventually, you know, she was training to be a nurse at the time. She was doing a nursing degree. This is in the States, by the way.
Okay.
And she was really struggling. And they did all these tests on her, including a CT scan, which was a real new thing in those days. This is, you know, we're talking 1982 or something.
Okay.
And that was all clear. And then they did therapy to, you know, for her for PTSD. They thought maybe it was a, you know, a trauma thing. Mm. Then they did, you know, all sorts of, a myriad of things, and nothing really worked. Eventually she went back to her tutor in the hospital where she was studying and said, look, I just need to defer for a year because I don't think I'm going to pass. I'm going to fail everything because I just cannot concentrate. I'm not feeling well at all. And he said, okay, I know it's a long shot, but try this friend of mine who's a chiropractor.
Okay.
And so she did. And within 2 weeks, she was absolutely fine. And I think she was, even a better version of herself.
And this, so, and this was in the early 80s?
This was in the early 80s, even, in fact, probably 80.
Okay.
And it wasn't very well known here at all. In the States, there were a few. And I just saw the difference, and I just instantly knew that that's what I had to do.
Wow.
I didn't know what the guy did. I didn't know anything about it. I had no knowledge. She didn't really tell me what he did. But I geared my whole entire life up to doing that. So I thought I was going to have to go back to the States to train. We moved here when I was 12. And then I found the only European chiropractic college and went and studied down there when I was 19.
So back in the early 80s was chiro...
Chiropractic.
Was it more common in the States than it was over here?
Yeah, it's an American originally profession.
Okay. Yeah.
In 1895, it was founded.
Right.
So there were a few more in the US, but there are now quite a few in Europe now. There's a lot of colleges that have opened up in Europe now. So
So your personal experience seeing your mum. Obviously go through that terrible time when she was trying to recover but couldn't, but then she found this thing that, as you said, you didn't even know what it was at the time.
Not
but
at
it,
all.
It always had a profound effect on you where you could see that change, and not just see the change, but see it over such a short period of time.
It was an incredibly short period of time. It doesn't always happen as miraculously as just to let you know.
but you must have seen her suffer after the accident and then suddenly this transformation.
Yes, it was, it was pretty awful, and, she wasn't herself at all. She's quite a bubbly, she's a bit bananas, really, my mom, and she'd lost her little bananas, which was really sad. So to see that transformation was something that I felt that it was something I needed to do because, and now I'm incredibly grateful because I see this every single day.
So that was the early 80s. You were 8 or 9 years old, age disputed.
Says it was a bit later, but anyway.
so you then obviously had this desire to follow that route. You didn't know really what it was, but you saw the results it had on your mum. Fast forward a few years, what happened when you started to study chiropractic?
Okay. Yeah, so I started studying when I was 19. And bearing in mind, I hadn't actually had a chiropractic visit at all up until then. So I still didn't really know what it was about. And I started chiropractic knowing that that was what I wanted to do. But I also was suffering from headaches and neck pain and tension and sometimes dizziness and these drop attacks and blackouts and things. And I started getting adjusted in the chiropractic college sort of little intern clinic thing, and that all went away. And so again, it was one of those things that just reinforced everything that I was doing, and I was doing it all right, and
so,
I knew.
So could these have been as a result of the accident? I know it was quite a few years prior, but
possible.
They,
I think, you know,
just goes to show maybe they do hang around for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. I think, your body tries to manage it. And I was quite young, so my healing system was probably pretty good then. So I think your body just kind of tries to keep it all under control until one day it can't anymore.
So a few years later, you got your degree?
Yep. So I qualified as a chiropractor in 1995 at the age of 23. And then I started working in associateships with other chiropractors, which most new grads do, as a sort of a learning curve. And I enjoyed that, but I always just felt like I wanted to do my own thing. I'm a bit, I don't know how to describe it. It's not arrogance. It's more of a kind of, I don't know.
Independence. To have
and
control
bit,
of your own
yeah,
destiny. I'm
bit,
sorry.
Exactly. Yes. And a bit of autonomy and a bit of, So I worked in quite a few practices, and then in 2006 I started a practice and then fell pregnant with my second child. So then my husband, who is also a chiropractor, came and took over. So then once I got back from maternity leave, we ran that practice together until about a year ago.
Okay.
That's about 13, 14 years, something like that. But about midway through my career, I started feeling a little bit not sure.
Okay.
So my whole entire life I'd been sure, and suddenly I decided I wasn't quite sure. And so I started looking around at what I may be changing. And what I found was, you know, often with chiropractic, what we do is it's a lot of just pain management. So we kind of, you know, fix their pain, they go away, come back when they've got pain again.
Right.
And I felt that there was so much more to it than that. And I felt I wanted to help not just putting out fires all the time, but as a preventative, if that's what you can call
trying it. Trying to stop the fires in the first place.
Yes. Mm. So, you know, and so I started looking around at how other people were working, because chiropractic can be quite an isolated profession. You're kind of on your own in this sort of, you know, this little closed, sterile room. And it's, you know, and as much as you go and do your continual professional development stuff, it's still a bit... I don't know, you're kind of just doing your own thing and trundling along. So I started looking at how other people were doing things, and opened my eyes to a whole new way of practicing, which was that more of a wellness, you know, model that they were working on, and more of a self-care model rather than just waiting till there's crisis and then, you know, trying to put out the fires.
So very much about the prevention of issues, not just dealing with them once they've happened.
Yeah, you know, I can't really say preventative because I don't know what's going to happen to you in this 21st century.
Yeah,
you know, I'd have to pick up all the banana peels in the world and put cotton wool all over everything. You know, so stuff happens. But from a self-care point of view, you know, you go to your optician for your eyes and you go to your, you know, the dentist for your teeth.
Yep.
And you should be going to the chiropractor for your whole entire nervous system, because that's what your spine houses. So to me, if the nervous system is working, then the rest of you is going to be working.
And it's a really interesting point of view as well, because people tend to go to chiropractors when there's a problem.
Yes, usually pain.
Yeah. And you're quite right. You know, we go to the opticians as part of our regular checkups. And certainly for the people that I know, they wouldn't think about going to a chiropractor unless they had back pain.
Mm, just, you know, and I'm getting that, you know, now that I've changed my practice, because I've started my own practice and I've been in there for a year now, I've started working on a very, very different, my intention is very different, and my intention is to educate people like you. I'm on a mission to get people to look at healthcare from a different perspective, and not wait until they're, you know, in massive trouble.
Yeah.
And it's the same in every avenue, isn't it? So I think chiropractic can be a massive part of that self-care. And, you know, like I say, I can't say preventative because I don't know.
Yeah.
But just get it all checked and make sure that your nervous system is working properly. And now, again, with mobile phones and all that kind of stuff, we've got that forward head carriage. Your brainstem lives right up there on your neck, and that's getting kinked all over the place. The brainstem is responsible for all kinds of cognitive stuff and the way we perceive the world, your mood, everything.
Yeah.
Balance, you know, when our balance is off kilter, the rest of our body has to overwork to keep us upright against, you know, gravity. So, you know, for that reason, let's just get everything, get our heads on straight, and we'll hopefully be, you know, be better and, you know, preventing a lot of problems.
So tell me a bit more about Vitalistic Chiropractic.
Okay, Vitalistic Chiropractic, we believe that there is an innate intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
We think that there is a power within your body that knows what to do. When the environment is right, your physical, chemical, emotional, the innate intelligence will work to its optimum. By adjusting the spine, this will restore the function of the nervous system. So I find blockages in the spine that where bits of spine aren't working, and the nervous system around that area may then be blocked or not working adequately, so not sort of supplying your organs and your limbs or what have you adequately. So I find these blockages, I unblock them and allow the nervous system to work better, which means that your innate intelligence will work better. So again, it's not about joint function, inflammation or any of that. It's all about your nervous system working adequately and therefore your innate intelligence working adequately.
Wow. It's kind of, it's interesting because, you know, like I said, people tend to go when there's a problem or there's a perception of what a chiropractor does, or, you know, maybe an osteopath, you know, I think it's all about your back and cracking the bones and all that, but it's so much more than that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I think it's the realization that there is so much that relates to good health that's connected to the spine.
Absolutely.
And the nervous system. It's not just about the organs. It's about the, you know, the nervous system is critical, isn't it?
I mean, the thing is, as well, as you know, you're talking about ovarian cancer and the cells that that will deform or multiply, you know, and become kind of rubbish. Yeah. I don't know. That's a medical term. You know, why does that happen? Why? You know, and it is something to an environmental issue, which is your environment, not the world's environment. Although we can get on that, we'll be here for 5 days on that, talking about that. But, you know, is there something going wrong in your system that needs correcting? And is it a chemical, physical, and emotional? And to us as chiropractors, if your innate intelligence isn't working, then A, you won't be, your innate intelligence's job is to go and find rubbishy mutated cells and adequately dispose of it, make a photocopy or, you know, make a brand new cell. You know, and obviously it, these cells, the photocopies fade and then we die. But while we're alive, we want really, really good, decent cells. So the job of the, you know, of the nervous system and the innate intelligence is to get rid of the rubbish cells, make nice new fresh cells. And when that doesn't happen in our minds, if that doesn't happen, that's when dis-ease develops.
Disease, absolutely. So can you tell me about any successes or what's the successes you've had with some of your clients?
Yes, you know, originally a lot of people came to me with lower back pain and, you know, we're really good at that. That tends to go away fairly quickly. But like we just mentioned, that's just the symptoms. And the symptoms are good because they're there to tell people that there's something not right. It's a warning system. And so what we found is, as much as my intention is to get rid of the pain, because pain is incredibly stressful, you know, when you wake up in the morning every morning and you're in pain and you know you've got to wade through this day and all this pain and it's horrible and it's quite depressing, you know, we want to get rid of that. However, my job is not to focus on those system, on that symptoms. My job is to undo those blockages in the spine. And when you do that, because of the nerve supply that supplies everything, then, you know, anything could happen. Now, I never claim to treat any particular disease at all, but we have had people going off of certain medications and inhalers and blood pressure meds. And I'm not saying do any of that, but, you know, but, you know, we have had, and just recently we've had, I had a little kid who came in and said that it helps him with his confidence. And others that are sleeping better. And, you know, so it's, you know, for your overall health and well-being, I think it's important to keep everything functioning.
I think it's also important to realise that there are other options than just taking pharmaceutical medication. Now, if you are taking pharmaceutical medication, don't change anything, talk to your doctor first. However, for a lot of the things that we suffer in terms of disease and pain and all that, it's not just about taking the drugs to deal with the symptoms. My view is you deal with the cause.
Absolutely.
There's a very, for people that know me, they'll know I talk about an illustration called painting your leaves green. And essentially, if you've got a tree in your garden and the leaves are turning brown, clearly there's something wrong with the tree. You call a gardener, he turns up, he says, yep, I know what's wrong with it. And he goes to the back of his van and he pulls out a paintbrush and a can of green paint and starts to paint the leaves green. Essentially, that's what we do when we take pharmaceutical medication, is we tend to deal with the symptom, i.e. not the root cause. We're painting our leaves green. We're trying to make ourselves feel better through pharmaceutically enhanced methods, you know, through drugs. But we don't often deal with the root cause, and drugs don't tend to deal with the root cause. They tend to deal with the symptoms of the problem and not the problem itself. I think it's that realization that you know, that there are options. You can look at other things apart from just popping lots of pills.
Absolutely. And I think when you think about the paint going on the leaves,
what damage does it do? What further damage does it do?
So the side effects, I mean, I read a study recently, just taking one Nurofen increases your risk of a heart attack by something like 87% or something ridiculous. So, you know, and this was, you know, from the medical journals. It wasn't just a froofy alternative medicine. It is absolutely true. So I think when you're full of all that chemistry, you're not going to be functioning. You know, we're not cars. You can't put chemicals in and we're going to go, we are these energy beings. And I think then when you mess with the chemistry, you're actually going to create more problems than when you started.
And I do stress, if you are on pharmaceutical medication, talk to your doctor first before you change anything.
don't go off anything.
But it's worth actually looking and seeing if there are other options aside from just taking drugs. So Destiny, tell me a bit more about your plans for this year. Obviously, we've got the remainder of 2019 and then into 2020. Where does that sort of 12 to 18 months take you?
My new practice is still fairly young. I've only been there for a year. Mm-hmm. So I'm really focusing on making sure, I mean, growth is always, on my mind with things like that. And I really, really want to make sure that I'm focusing on looking after the people who come into my practice. So I try not to, I'm a bit of a creative brain. So okay. I'm a bit of a shiny new thing, like, mm-hmm. let's go do that. So I'm really trying hard to kind of really remain focused on looking after my people. Mm-hmm. I am, however, going on a mission trip to Haiti, which is wow. the only chiropractic orphanage. And I'm going to go in there and adjust all the mamas and babies and staff and what have you, also in a local hospital and also in a place in the Dominican Republic. So that's mm-hmm. in late September. Mm-hmm. And then a few sort of fundraising events and things within the practice. I'm very close to a local charity who works with additional needs adults mm-hmm. In a garden center, which is in Offham down the road, called Spadework. I work with them quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And I am also thinking of writing a book. That old cliche.
Welcome to the club.
That scares me a bit. So it might not be till a bit later. But yeah, really, I'm focusing on, bringing chiropractic, my brand of chiropractic, to my community and, spreading the word that there's more than one way to, and that, trying absolutely everything before drugs and surgery. Mm-hmm. Drugs and surgery sometimes need to be an option.
Yes, I agree completely, yes.
But it shouldn't be, let's do drugs and surgery and then, oh, that didn't work, or now we'll see if the chiropractor can put us back together mm-hmm. again. It should be the other way around. Try everything first.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, drugs can save your life.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we need serious cases, antibiotics, as an example, can save your life. But like any drug, if they're overused or misused, or even just taken as the first port of call without looking at other options, it's not always the best for us, is it?
And of course, we've got the whole antibiotic resistance issue mm-hmm. because they were overprescribed in the 80s and 90s because it was quite exciting, wasn't it? Like, oh, just loads of antibiotics. And as a society, I think we expect it as well. You go into the doctor with a cough and you want it to be sorted immediately because we've got livestock.
And if you don't walk out with medication, it's almost like you've failed to convince them to give you drugs.
Absolutely.
But, and I do agree that I think our whole mindset on pharmaceutical medication needs to shift. But again, that's a whole different subject.
Oh, we could be here for hours.
So tell me, who's just to go over this again, who would be your ideal client and why, in your opinion, would they want to come to you particularly?
So I see anybody with a nervous system.
So that's most people.
Yeah. Except, a dead person has a nervous system. But, it's sort of anyone who's alive. So my youngest client was 2 days old, came straight in to get checked. Yeah, because, birth trauma, it's sort of, again, 60% of infants have some kind of birth trauma from the normal, natural birthing process.
Yeah.
And we've got so much medical intervention now that, it's that upper neck bit that's the issue. So. Yes. We get quite a few of those just to get checked. But on my eldest, I think, was 98 and she still comes in, bless her. So anybody in between. My favorite, though, is, I guess because it's close to my heart, middle-aged women who are trying to kind of make it all, happen. And mm-hmm. the kids are getting a little bit older and they wanted to, and everyone's all stressed and anxious and trying to just do everything, aren't they? So I find, great results of that sort of just well-being and feeling better. But yeah, anybody. I see everybody. Bring them in.
So if people do want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to get hold of you?
Well, I have a website. It's still kind of a work in progress. Again, I'm a creative, so it's a bit too linear for me. But it's www.destinychiropractic.co.uk.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can email us directly at info@destinychiropractic.co.uk mm-hmm. or destiny@destinychiropractic.co.uk. chiropractic.co.uk. I'm also on Facebook, Destiny Chiropractic, and Instagram, Destiny Chiropractic.
And you're happy to go out and talk to workplaces and groups and schools as well?
I do a free introductory talk about chiropractic and how I'm different, about vitalistic chiropractic specifically. Mm-hmm. And that's a free, no obligation. You just can come, you know, book it in, come into the practice, we'll chat. But I also will go out into workplaces quite happily and also chat about how chiropractic can help and give advice when needed.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And what I'll do for you as well is when I do the post-promotion for the show, I'll put all your contact information onto social media.
Fabulous.
So people can get hold of you there as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
After the break, we are going to have a chat about low blood pressure.
You got wires going in. You got wires coming out of your skin. You got tears making tracks. I got tears that are scared of the facts running. Cheers.
never know. That was Athlete and Wires, and a great story behind that song if you ever want to Google it. It's about his daughter that was born premature, and it's about his experience in hospital. So next time you listen to that song, look at the lyrics, and it takes on a whole different meaning. You're listening to the Health Matters radio show with me, Neil De Silva. Quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, search the Health Matters radio show. And you can listen again to this show and previous shows on iTunes podcast. Just search the Health Matters radio show on iTunes or the media page of my website. And all previous shows are listed there for you to listen to as well. And I would also encourage you, I've just started up a YouTube channel and I'm trying to get to 100 subscribers. And it's really hard work because at 100 subscribers, I can pick my own URL for the page. So if you would like to go to the Facebook page of iNutrition, which I think is iNutrition UK, type in iNutrition and I will put the link to my YouTube channel. Please go in and subscribe, even if you don't watch the videos. I just need to get to 100, please. So, going to crack on with the show, and we're going to talk about blood pressure. Now, we've covered high blood pressure in the past, and high blood pressure is in some cases a particularly serious condition, and it can in some cases be life-threatening as well, because it causes a lot of damage to the body, particularly to the really small capillaries, the blood capillaries in the body, in the kidneys, in the eyes and other parts of the body. So high blood pressure is very well documented, and it's obviously, if it's in the extremes, you'll be given medication to bring it back down again, or a lifestyle and dietary intervention can often do the same thing. We don't often talk about low blood pressure. Now, low blood pressure is the complete opposite to high blood pressure, as you would think. So it's when your blood pressure falls to a level that's much lower than normal for you. And that's the key. It's for you. Now, a person might have naturally low blood pressure, which doesn't cause them any problems, and that isn't a problem at all. But it's when your blood pressure becomes lower than normal for you, and that causes symptoms like dizziness and fainting. So the medical term for low blood pressure is called hypotension, and equally high blood pressure is hypertension. So hypo means too low, hyper means too high. And low blood pressure, or abnormal low blood pressure, shall we say, can happen for a number of reasons, including certain medications that can have that as a side effect, or if you've got an underlying health condition, that can affect your blood pressure as well. So when you go to your doctors, they give you two numbers, a higher number and a lower number. So the higher number is the systolic and the lower number is the diastolic, and there's generally a healthy range for most people, but your blood pressure will change throughout the day. It's lower when you're sleeping and it rises when you wake up. And there's no recognized cutoff level for low blood pressure as there is for high blood pressure. So for example, if you're systolic, which for most people, the normal range is between about 110 to about 140, you might have a systolic of around 90 and you might operate particularly okay. But if 90 is abnormal for you, if it drops down to 90, you might start getting these symptoms. And the problem is these symptoms, are, like other things, often go undiagnosed because we don't put them down to a particular condition. So if you can recognise things like lightheadedness or dizziness or blurry vision or fatigue or fainting, particularly if you stand up quickly, sometimes in that moment that the blood rushes away from the brain, you can feel a little bit dizzy and lightheaded. That can be symptoms of low blood pressure. But these symptoms can also occur when you're doing nothing. But generally speaking, they will occur when you're changing position, if you're standing up quickly, or, you know, without going into too much detail, if you're straining on the toilet, that can cause those symptoms of lightheadedness. And these symptoms and low blood pressure is not often found except as part of a routine test. You might have a routine test, just an annual blood pressure check, perhaps at your doctor's, and they will pick up the low blood pressure. And there are different types of hypotension. There's posterior hypotension. So this is the blood pressure issue when you stand up quickly, when your body doesn't respond quickly enough when you stand up, and the blood stays in the torso and in your legs, and that causes the blood pressure to fall. It's particularly common in older people. If you're dehydrated, it can happen as well. If you spent a long time in bed, if you've had a hot bath, it can happen also after you've eaten a meal, particularly one that's high in carbohydrates. There's neurally medicated hypertension. So this is occasional sudden but temporary drops in blood pressure. And that can actually cause a brief loss in consciousness. And this can happen if you've been standing up for a long time. But it can also be triggered by things like pain, emotional stress as well. It can also be caused by fear, particularly fear driven by phobias. And then you have severe hypertension, which is called shock. So this is a life-threatening condition where your blood pressure has dropped so low that the vital organs are not getting the blood they need to function properly. Now, this can happen as a result of serious medical conditions or infections, maybe heart attack or an allergic reaction or major blood loss. If you have severe hypertension, you need to get medical help straight away. Now, low blood pressure can occur with people that are often unfit, but often people that are fit will get low blood pressure as well. And that could be caused by a number of different things, like if they're too hot, either from the weather outside, the ambient temperature, or if they've had a hot bath or shower, or they're wearing too many clothes, that can cause blood pressure to drop. If they've just donated blood, or they are bleeding heavily, or they are dehydrated, that can be an issue as well. As I mentioned, medicines can cause low blood pressure, as can other drugs and alcohol as well. If you've got an infection or you've got a heart condition or you've got a disorder of the nervous system or you have nutritional deficiencies, these things can cause low blood pressure. So the key takeaway is you may have low blood pressure that might be naturally low and you can function absolutely normally. If you've got normal blood pressure and your blood pressure drops, you need to pick up on these symptoms and get them checked out. So particularly if you stand up quickly and you get lightheaded, then that's the time to maybe go and get it checked out, because it might be also a symptom of other underlying health conditions as well. So that's it for this week's show. We are out of time. How quickly the hour goes. I'd like to thank Destiny one more time for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I will put Destiny's contact details in the post-promotion activity that I do on social media. So please do look out for that. If you'd like to come on the show, as Destiny has done today, and talk about your background, your journey, and what you're doing now and how you can help people, then please make contact with me via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Go to the contact page, drop me an email, and we'll see about having you on the show as a guest on a future show. And if you've got any questions in the meantime, please make contact with me via my website or drop me a tweet. So after the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. But until the same time next week, stay happy, stay healthy, have a great week, and I will catch you next Monday.
The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you could lend a hand in return.